Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Reza Zulkapli dan ini Niaga Awani. Kita mulakan dengan perkembangan dalam negara. Quality Asset Bank, bank terbesar di Malaysia, lebih berdaya tahan terhadap gangguan ekonomi akibat COVID-19 berbanding bank serantau yang setaranya. Menurut Moody's Investor Service, ini termasuk berbanding bank di Indonesia, Filipina dan juga Thailand. Ketahanan ini beserta penampan modal dan mudah tunai yang kuat akan membolehkan bank-bank Malaysia memperoleh kembali keuntungan dengan lebih cepat berbanding rakan serantau yang lain. Tambahnya, bank terbesar di Malaysia ataupun bank-bank terbesar di Malaysia mempunyai bahagian pinjaman terkecil di bawah program bantuan peraturan berbanding rakan serantau yang kebanyakannya adalah gadai janji dan pinjaman automatik yang bercagar. Kita ingin meneroka laporan ini bersama dengan penganalisis Moody's, Tengfu Lee, secara langsung menerusi Microsoft Team di Singapura. Tengfu, thank you for joining us. Tengfu, Moody's Investor Service asset, according to Moody's Investor Service, asset quality of Malaysia's largest banks has been more resilient to the coronavirus-induced economic disruption than their peers in Indonesia, the Philippines and also Thailand. This resiliency, along with strong capital and liquidity buffers, will enable Malaysian banks to restore profitability faster than their regional peers. What about other banks in Southeast Asia? What challenges do they face currently?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for inviting me here. I think we recently published a report to compare the coronavirus impact on banks in Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand and the Philippines. First and foremost, banks in the four countries are highly capitalized and well-funded by deposits. This also means that all of them have ample capital and liquidity, buffer to absorb the asset quality stress caused by the pandemic, such that the ability to function as financial intermediaries remains intact. Now, the difference lies in the magnitude of the coronavirus impact on the asset quality, which is reflected in the amount of loans that are under the various debt relief programs. Mm-hmm. So in Malaysia, what we saw is that the level of such loans is at around 10%, but it is two times higher at 20% in Indonesia, Thailand, for example, which means that banks in this country have to grapple with more borrowers that are under stress. Now, when we break down the loans under relief program for Malaysia, most of them are collateralized mortgages and auto loans. In contrast, such loans in Indonesia and Thailand are largely exposure to businesses that took a direct cash flow hit. Mm-hmm. And not all of them are collateralized. Even for those that are secured, the collaterals are machinery, factories, and hotels that will be more prone to haircuts in this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And in the case of the Philippines, we saw a surge in defaults among retail and SME borrowers, given that the employment market is the worst hit among the four countries. And retail and SME lending is not as well developed compared to Malaysia, mm-hmm. in terms of the credit bureau and in terms of the regulation, particularly in the area of consumer financing. Mm-hmm. And what we saw is that compared to the other countries, Malaysia appears to hold ample financial assets mm-hmm. that can help them tide through economic shocks. Now, there are also challenges from the macroeconomic environment for the banks, which are really linked to the pace of economic recovery. So, for example, in Indonesia, we saw that the private consumption remains weak and it's not recovering as well as what we have seen in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. The Thailand, as everyone knows, the economy depends a lot on tourism, which is the sector most hit in this pandemic. And lastly, for Philippines, the unemployment situation is more severe there.
Speaking of unemployment, yesterday the National Bureau of Statistics Malaysia, or DOSM, Department of Statistics Malaysia, announced that the unemployment rate has gone down in February. With this and other factors, especially the immunization program in Malaysia, do you foresee loans under regulatory relief programs to continue to go down moving forward?
The answer is yes. We have already seen the amount of loans under the relief programs stabilizing or running down in Malaysia. And the key reason is because, obviously, the leading indicator is showing that the economic activities are returning. I think, first of all, when we look at how the governments are actually managing the spread of the coronavirus outbreak, they are relaxing the lockdowns and restrictions as they focus more on livelihood. So, for instance, in Malaysia, the second MCO is definitely more relaxed than the first one, given that the list of essential services that are allowed to operate this year is much longer than the one last year. And also, what we found is that people and businesses adapt to new ways that have kept economic activities going despite the restrictions. Mm-hmm. So specifically, the coronavirus outbreak has accelerated digitalization, as we see more people purchasing items online. And within the banking system, we see a sharp increase in digital transactions out there. And thirdly, the recovery in the key global markets, for the same reason mentioned above, will have an uplifting effect on export-oriented countries like Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And lastly, the success of the vaccination program will be critical as well, given that it will not only allow the government to ease domestic restrictions, but we also help to restart international travel, tourism, the sectors that are worst hit in this pandemic. In short, a successful vaccination program can help accelerate economic activities back to pre-coronavirus level.
And thankfully, looking at the current capital and liquidity buffers, are Malaysian banks strong enough to face potential financial stress? What headwinds do you foresee moving forward?
I think for Malaysian banks, we see that they are highly capitalized, well-funded by deposits. And in fact, their CET1 and liquidity coverage ratio are around 14 and 150 basis points, respectively, mm-hmm. which is well above the regulatory minimum down there. So this also means that, similar to many of their peers in the region, Malaysian banks have ample capital and liquidity buffers to absorb any asset quality stress. And in addition to that, what we saw in 2020, despite the regulatory forbearance on default classification and loan provision, the Malaysian banks have in fact been very proactive in setting aside loan loss provision. So this also means that this will add buffers to absorb loan losses, which is on top of their very well capital position. Mm-hmm. And also, when we compare Malaysian banks with the rest of peers, as mentioned earlier, the asset quality stress, in our view, will be less severe when compared to their regional peers. And now, in terms of the challenges, I think the key risk remains the resurgence of infection, mm-hmm. And definitely a return of the lockdown measures that will curb economic activity. We are closely watching the vaccination program that could help to restore some of these economic activities. And the reason why we are so focused on that, because the longer this crisis lasts, the higher the risk of household defaults and business insolvency down there.
On that note, thank you very much. Thankfully, penganalisis Moody's Investor Service membincangkan berkenaan dengan kualiti aset perbankan di Malaysia. Kita akan berehat seketika kembali selepas ini.